This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 293, brought to you by Bad Girls Club on Oxygen, graphically, and iFanboy listeners like you.
Yep, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around every once in a while.
I was born in a bed of thorns, surrounded by men with horns, wicked forms, but still I was happy to be born. I grew up in a house of tin, a mouse and men, rats and roaches lacking oxygen. Every night I dream, I feel ghosts, babies crying, favorite uncles dying, mom's trying, pops lying, mom's going across his head with a frying pan. Me and my man made plans to rule the land and raise a fam. Now my man stands 6 feet deep in a box covered with sand.
Hey, welcome to the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast, episode 293. I am Josh Flanagan. I'm here with Connor Kilpatrick.
Hello.
And Ron Richards.
Hello.
Hello. iFanboy.com, we like comics. We read them. Every week we read a bunch of them, and then one of us has the job of picking the one that they feel is best. Sometimes that's easy, sometimes that's hard, and they write about it on the website, and then we come here and talk about that, and there are other books from the week, and some stuff, just some random stuff. We might read an ad. You know, it's how it works. I got, you know, it's the world today. Before we get going, there will be spoilers. That's your warning. If you haven't read your books yet, come back later after you have, or forge ahead bravely and onward. It's totally fine. It's up to you, but you've got your warning. There will be the events of the books discussed. That's how it works. At the end of the show, we are going to tell you all about what is up at San Diego Comic-Con International this year for iFanboy.
What is up with San Diego?
What is the deal with CCI? How come CCI isn't the hashtag? Because no one calls it that.
Yeah, exactly.
Connor, you are much aggrieved. You have a pick.
Well, you guys know, those of us who are in the pick of the week business, this racket that we are in, that we've tied our horses to and are being drugged behind. You know, it's you have a week where you love everything you read. You're excited. You just can't wait to write about the book you love and just tell the world what you thought about the best book of the week. That was last week.
Which is funny because I had that feeling this week, and I was mad I didn't have the pick.
All right. And this week, yeah. I couldn't have cared less to write about any of the books I read. I had 23, 24 books, and I liked a lot of them. Were very solid books.
It should be pointed out, it was very hot that day.
But the thing is, like,
this was a great week. I was kind of shocked that you had a hard time picking one.
And because... I had a lot of books that I quite liked a lot. There were a lot of like great, good chapters, good solid chapters in a story, but nothing that I read that blew me away. Where I put it down and I went, "Oh!" Like this, like it happened like 4 or 5 times last week. Whereas this week, when I finished my stack, I found any excuse to not write the pick. I went and I did the dishes. I took a shower. I cleaned up a little bit. I was hoping something would come to me. Nothing ever did. So at the end of the day, I just went through the books and I picked the one I had the most fun reading. And it was a 4-star book. I don't think. Moon Knight was the last time I picked a 4-star book as a pick, and I haven't ever done
that. I didn't know you
before.
Had that whole grading thing. I didn't know your pick had to be a 5-star book. I don't live by that rule at all.
Well, you assume that the best thing of the week is going to be a 5-star book.
Well, we're opening a whole can of worms. I should be quiet.
I grade on a curve week to week, for example.
So. No, I don't do that. So, Batgirl number 23 ended up being the pick of the week, and
it was bittersweet because it's the second to last issue. And it's funny because I wrote a whole Pick of the Week review sort of summing up the series. And I realized I probably shouldn't because it's not over yet. And maybe the next one will be a Pick of the Week. So I deleted it and started over.
Didn't want to publish it this week, did you?
God, it was really just... You guys know, sometimes you just can't get it out. There's just nothing coming.
No, I know. Hey, man. Hey, it happens to everybody. Don't worry.
Wait, are we still talking about writing?
I told you I took any excuse not to write the pick.
All of Connor's, all of your procrastination seemed to have been water-based. You took a shower. You did
it
the dishes.
Well, you're right. It was hot. It was like 100 degrees out.
It was. It was awful. Anyway.
I ran through the sprinklers. I did some slip and slide on the sidewalk.
Yeah. You know, really good shows don't get to the point of what they're talking about.
Well, that's – you can see because there's not a whole lot to talk about. So I'm trying to fill time. Batgirl 23 is another – just a solid chapter in the Batgirl story. And if you've heard me talk about it before, there's not much that's different. Brian Q. Miller is a great writer. He's one of the best new voices in comics, not in the reboot as of yet. On a book. He's also a TV writer, so I'm sure he's doing fine.
He's got work.
But in these 2 years, I actually made a comparison in the review very quickly to Power Girl, in that Power Girl had a great 2-year run, and Batgirl's had a great 2-year run. They're both kind of under the radar, except for the diehard fans, and both will be great collections of trades that you can give to people and say, what is a great story I can read that's all pretty much self-contained, that features great characters, great action, great art, a writer who really seems to get, you know, comics. Brian Q. You know, most guys who come on from other mediums, I don't know Brian Q. Miller's history. He may have written a lot of comics before, but he's primarily a TV writer. Most, as you guys know, most people from other mediums come in and don't really get how to do it. There's always a couple that do, but most of them don't. He really gets comics. He really gets how to make you care for a character in the midst of action. So it's not all action. It's not all just talking heads. It's both, and characterizations weaved through the story. And you know, as a 2-year run, this is going to be fantastic. And I know people are sad it's going to be changed in the reboot, and I am, but I've come to accept it. I'm looking forward to Barbara Gordon. But in the meantime, if you've been following this along, this is sort of the culmination of the whole 2-year story where Batgirl's coming to her own. Stephanie Brown, she's fighting the villain she's been fighting for the last year, which I haven't really loved, actually. And now she's come face to face with her father, who is the whole reason why she's a superhero. We haven't really seen much of him. That was the big cliffhanger in the issue, is that she goes to Blackgate Prison to stop a riot. She has some help from Supergirl and Stargirl and Miss Martian and a couple other people. And then the riot leads her to her father, who is the trickster, I believe. So that's going to be a nice sort of emotional wrap to the whole arc, is when we get to sort of she has to have it out with her father, who is the reason why she's here in the first place, because she was rebelling against her evil dad. Great art from Per Perez, who is the sort of unofficial fill-in artist. He's done 6 of these issues, and he's got a great sort of clean, classic superhero style. You know, it's that kind of thing you look at and you think of superhero comics. It's not overly rendered. It's not very envelope pushing. It's just very solid storytelling, great emotion from the characters. In a book like this, where there's a lot of emotions being felt, especially from Batgirl, it's important to have an artist who can convey emotions, not just through dialogue, but through the pictures, and Per Perez can do that as well. So, I mean, if you've been enjoying Batgirl, you probably love this issue, and it's another, you know, really good, solid, strong 4-star Batgirl issue, which was, at the end of the day, made my pick of the week in a week where nothing really blew me away.
So was this a bad week to expand the pick of the week discussion segment to 25 minutes?
Yes.
All right, because you know you're gonna need we need at least 50 more minutes on Batgirl, Connor.
I got recipes to talk about. I can play up softball game.
Well, it's interesting when I saw the pick of the week, I probably had a similar reaction that you guys had when I picked Moon Knight 3 last week, which was like, huh, really? But then I thought about it. And it makes sense that everyone's been enjoying this run. You've been enjoying this run.
Yep, I've
heard nothing but good things about Brian Q. Miller. I didn't pick it up. I didn't read it. I didn't, you know, sure.
It wouldn't make much sense. I mean, it's sure. The culmination of the story.
I bought like one of the middle. I bought like issue 13 or something. I was like, I don't know what this is.
Yeah. And it's okay, old man, get off my lawn.
I said, well, what is it? I was like, you got 20 pages to grab me. Forget it. I'm done.
You had lunch with Larry King.
What'd you do? Now you're an old Hollywood. 40.
You had Saturday brunch with Larry King and Jeff.
Morty Scheinfeld did something like this back in 1974. I don't know what the point is.
So I wasn't surprised that you picked it. I mean, it just made sense in that regard. But I gotta admit, there were at least 4 other books I would have thought you would have picked pick of the week before Batgirl.
Well, there were some books I didn't like, but for the most part, again, a lot of just really that was good.
You know what's really funny is that as we go through some of these books, I feel like the conversation is going to be less about why they were good and more about why weren't they Pick of the Week, Connor?
All right, well, we can do that.
All right. Let's have some fun with it.
Yeah. I have an answer for the first one.
So. Okay.
Let's be loose.
Yeah, let's dive in. So
I'm sure people thought Captain America number one would be the pick.
Yeah, so you got Ed Brubaker and Steve McNiven launching the new Captain America series, Captain America number one, Steve Rogers back in the costume. Connor, why do you hate democracy?
Well, Josh reviewed this early on the website, and I thought this was a very fine issue.
Yep.
There was nothing wrong with it. The McNiven's art was wonderful. This was the kind of McNiven art you want.
Yep.
It just was missing that oomph from a first issue that really gets you excited about it. And I'm, of course, excited about it because I like Captain America, but it was lacking a spark of excitement. It was very solid. It laid out the groundwork for what the story is going to be, and it did that stuff, but it didn't really blow me away. And I think I got that sense from Josh, too.
From a story standpoint, it was kind of sparse. Like, it was very good. I gave the writing, you know, a 4. It was. There was nothing wrong with it. There was nothing missing. But it was sort of standard. The thing to get you excited about it would have been the art. And you know, it was. The art was fantastic. And it's a start of a kind of interesting story. And I really liked it. I really enjoyed it. But I could totally see I wouldn't have made the pick either.
Right, and I thought it was good. I agree that it was good McNiven. The past couple of years, we've seen not so good McNiven, but this is the kind of McNiven that I like. And I actually was impressed by some of the layouts themselves.
Yes, the layouts are great.
There are some really cool use of, you know, like there was a couple of circle panels, and there was a couple of good. There was one great panel when after the cemetery, after the guy shot at them, and Steve runs off, and you got Nick Fury, Dum Dum, and Sharon Carter all reacting, and Steve running underneath them. Like that was a great panel. I thought a great page. Yeah,
I like the cast a lot. Like I like the setup. I'm totally cool with this, and I you know, but at the same time, like mysterious stranger from the past shows up. No one else knows who he is. We have seen it.
Right.
It's not terribly unusual, but completely solid. Very enjoyable. Totally. You know.
Very solid. And there's a lot of things of this week that were very solid, but not. You know, didn't blow up my skirt.
Yeah. Okay. I agree. It was a solid number 4, a 4-star book in my book as well. So, all right, cool. So what was wrong with the Red Wing number 1 by Jonathan Hickman and Nick Vitara?
I like the art a lot. It's kind of quietly-esque.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Very much so. It's the same problem I have with a lot of Hickman's indie work, which is it's very sort of sparse. And the story's very oblique. I don't really get much of an emotional hook into it. And now the thing is with Hickman's work is, and especially his indie stuff, is when it's all said and done, I usually like it a lot more.
Yeah.
It's just that in the beginning, I find it hard to latch onto what's happening because he throws a lot of stuff at you information-wise, and you have to sort of really... The thing I like about Hickman is he doesn't talk down to you. He assumes you're going to...
No.
Yeah. You're going to figure out what's going on, and I like that a lot. I appreciate that, and that's not a detriment to the book at all. It's just I don't feel much about the characters. I don't know what, you know, it's sort of a thing where I'm going to have to build into the story as opposed to jumping in right off the bat.
Well, for those who don't know, the book's called The Red Wing, published by Image, and it's basically like the slug or the one-liner is it's like time-traveling fighter pilots.
Yeah, I like that.
Aspect which is great. And when I sat down and read it, and I read, you know, and the book opens up, and you see this guy, you see this, you know, the guy in the fighter ship, and he's got the helmet, and they're jumping through time, and you get a feeling, okay, they're traveling through time, they're fighting some sort of battle, and then something happens, and then you get through like the first 6 pages, and he turns to the 4 pages of just text, and with the big 2-page Red Wing title, and I just went, oh, this is great, this like it felt like a movie. You know what I mean? Like we saw the opening scene and here's the opening credits and then it takes us and introduces us to the current character. And you're right, it gives us a lot of information. But this totally hits on, you know, time travel is one of my favorite kind of topics, so it totally hits me on that. And basically it's the idea that the guy we saw in the opening was the main character's father and he's assumed to be dead, but the son won't give up and thinks that he maybe could be trapped in time. And we find out by the end of the issue that the father is indeed alive and he's trapped in time and it was so cool. It's a combination 12 Monkeys, Top Gun, you know, like
Top Gun.
Well, there's no. Well, the fact that it's no.
Just take that back.
Take it back.
But
take it back.
But yeah, I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought it was great. I'm not taking it back. I thought it was great. So
you mother.
Top Gun in space. But yeah, Nick Pitara is very Frank Quitely-esque. That's a really good observation. The art was really nice.
For me, and I thought the exact same thing about the art. I was like, oh, it's quietly-rific, and. for me, like, Hickman's stuff has been sort of hit or miss at Marvel. Like, it's good, but I haven't loved it. But, I mean, I thought Pax Romano was fantastic, and I saw somewhere recently Hickman said that was his favorite thing that he'd done, and this sort of touches on a little of that because that was a time travel history story also. Yep. This was my pick of the week. I loved this. Yeah. I was like, Jesus, look at this guy's chops. Yeah. I mean, I was like, it's hard not to be impressed, I thought, just in the sort of world building and conceptual sort of era. And I no one's doing work like that. At least no one's doing work like that that anybody sees.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There might be comics like this somewhere, because right now there's a guy like, I've been making this comic for years and no one reads it. Hmm. But really, I was, ooh, that's, see, these are the kind of things that aren't done enough with comic books that people read.
Yep, agreed.
That's kind of why it made me happy.
I can't wait.
It's
for
very,
this.
Very heady.
So it's a 4-issue miniseries, and I believe Hickman has taken the tact of they didn't get solicited and come out till they're done. So I think this will ship on time, but I'm not for sure, so I could be mistaken.
But we could finish it in 2016.
Yeah, exactly. That well, happened. It's time travel, so you know how it is.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, love the Red Wing. That was a 5-star book for me. It wasn't my pick of the week though, but and then we'll get to my pick of the week next, because Connor, X-Men Schism number 1. Why do you hate Jason Aaron?
This is again another solid issue in the same way that a little bit better than Captain America, in that. I bet for an X-Men fan, this was fantastic. But.
So good. This was so good. I was giddy reading it. I mean, I emailed you guys as soon as I read it, right? I'm like, this is fucking fantastic.
Yeah, and it was really, really good. It was, I mean, I think if I was a big X-Men fan, it probably would have been pick of the week. But I also really liked it. Yeah. It was very good. It was a 4-star book.
It was a 5-star. Totally 5-star.
Did it lose the star because you thought that Wolverine was just a bit too stocky?
He was a bit stocky.
Well, he was very stocky. Not a complaint. Totally
I have
not.
To give credit. Out of the costume, I could see that. But in costume, Pacheco was channeling Cassaday's Wolverine.
Yeah,
in this big time. And honestly, this is probably the best Pacheco I've seen in a long time.
I wish we had Avengers Forever Pacheco back.
Yeah,
I
read me both.
This is the first X-Men book I've read in years.
You read it? Oh my God! What do you think?
I really liked it. It was fun.
Good, right? I liked
the uneasy sort of. You know, all the ads led you to believe that this is just going to be Wolverine and Cyclops hitting each other. But no. I really actually liked their relationship as it was, the sort of grudging.
Well, yeah, well,
affection.
And
really.
Let me break it down for you as the X-Men fan. You've got Jason Aaron introduces Wolverine connecting with one of the Generation Hope kids. One of the girls keeping the tradition of Wolverine and teen girls. So, yeah, so that happened.
It's a tradition you want to keep up.
But then I thought his characterization, well, first off of Wolverine, we already know Jason Aaron knows how to write Wolverine. And he's the only writer now that acknowledges the fact that Wolverine is in so many different places.
Yeah.
And I love the little jokes where he, you know, like, so it opens up with Wolverine coming home and he's got arrows and throwing stars stuck in him and whatever. And
he didn't clean them off.
Exactly. And he's exhausted and he's crawling into bed and he's just like, Avengers, X-Force, everybody can kiss my ass. I'm going to go to sleep. You know, and like, it just like, it's great little touches to that. And then Cyclops gets him out of bed and asks him to go accompany him to give this speech at like, not the UN, like another place. But, and I talked to Jason Aaron on Don't Miss about this because he's written Wolverine a lot, but he hasn't written Cyclops a lot. And the characterization between these two characters together in that opening scene of them going to this meeting, I thought was fantastic. Like subtle things like Wolverine calling Cyclops Slim, which so many writers have forgotten about.
That's funny because that instantly brought me back to. I was like, oh yeah, that's good.
Exactly.
Even I know that.
Yeah, and then they had that nice flashback panel. When they were kind of when Cyclops was thanking Cyclops thanked Wolverine for backing him up and that sort of thing, and there was a little flashback to way back in the day when Wolverine yelling at Cyclops saying I ain't taking orders from you, you know, and that was a nice little touch, you know, like, and it's, you really get the idea that Jason Aaron has a reverence for the X-Men's past, but at the same time is moving them forward, which as an X-Men fan is all I've ever wanted. So this is great. This is fantastic. And I like the new villain. I like that we got the Hellfire Club back. I like that we got the old Sentinel design back, like just big fucking robots, you know, like none of this nanobites and nanites and all that kind of stuff. Like it's distilling it down to what works for the X-Men. And that's why Schism is so, so good. And it was a double-sized issue, which was some awesome, awesome art.
It went pretty fast for that, though.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, sometimes double-sized issues, like, oh, get on with it. But It was nice. I really did enjoy it a lot.
Yeah, this was clear. This was my pick of the week, which is no surprise, but because I'm biased. But I don't mind. I'm biased. I loved it.
Well, see, the thing, I start to lose track of X-Men when there's a bunch of characters there. I don't know what's going on, and they get into, you know, all sort of, but like, you know, the core sort of guys have been around for a while and their relationships. I do find that interesting.
Yeah, exactly. So the next issue comes out in 2 weeks. So Josh, will you stick with it or?
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Until I realize that I'm not thinking about it anymore, and then it's lost me.
Right. Fair enough.
I'll write that.
Fair enough. All right. So
the book that a lot of people liked this week. I think the big one. We'll get to that. Ultimate Fallout number 1. This is sort of the next follow up from Dead Peter Parker. Is that a spoiler still?
No, it's not a spoiler. So that leaves the question, Connor. Why do you have a dead cold heart?
This felt unnecessary. Yeah. I really didn't love it, didn't hate it, just read it, and I was like, oh, that was a comic book.
Yep.
And moved on. I didn't need this issue.
I actually kind of agree. It felt a little rote. Yep. In that I felt like I'd read it. I just feel like we've done this kind of issue in this book, I don't know, recently, but people have been dying.
We did it after he thought he died before. It was that. Remember
yeah.
That
movie?
Yeah.
It was
reminiminiscent to the Tidal Wave?
Ultimatum.
Ultimatum, yeah.
And there's that issue, or there was two pages in here with the little girl who asked her if she needs a hug, and he saved her life, and I thought that was really nice. That was the best moment in this book.
Yeah, there was a bunch of, at least for me, I mean, I'll be honest, I agree with you guys that I think that it's, you know, it felt very ultimatum-y. It felt we kind of been there, and I kind of want to just move on with it. But that said, I did get a little teary at a couple of points because it's basically, it was easy to push emotional buttons.
Yeah.
You know, like it opens up with all the main characters kind of sitting there dealing with the fact that Peter Parker is indeed dead, and just little quiet moments of each of them dealing with it, and then leading up to the funeral where, you know, Aunt May goes to St. Patrick's Cathedral in Manhattan, and it's swamped with people, and you know, it was a very easy button to push by Bendis.
Mm-hmm. I really like the two-page Jameson spread.
That was really great. Yep.
That's a really nice use of the page and the form, I guess.
Yeah.
Sort of erases a little.
But
did you say racist?
Yeah, it's a nice use of the racist. He hates black people.
He hates those cans.
Yeah.
So whether or not they're doing this because they need more time before the relaunch, or they feel as if they need to, you know, close the story of these characters. I don't know.
That's a standard Marvel move.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's that one morning issue.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's going to be six morning issues.
No,
is it a six issue?
This is not a six issue series, is it?
Yes.
No.
This is also not a college project.
Yes, it is. It's a six issue series. Chapter one of six. Look in the first page.
Holy crap.
So the rest of the next two issues are the service.
Where do you see chapter one of six? Oh, I see it on the right under the title. Oh, yeah, okay. Yes. Chapter is it shipping? Is it shipping bi-weekly?
It's weekly, I think.
Okay, jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I'm gonna read all of them. I'm not sure. I'm torn between my love of the universe that he's created and my ambivalence about this whole thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, that Somni issue could be the end of the run. You know what I mean? Like, it could end right there and be happy with it. I'm sticking with it because I'm curious to see what they're going to do with the Ultimate Comics, Ultimate Spider-Man number 1.
Well, I don't mean that. I mean this particular mini.
Oh, this particular mini. Well, but yeah. You don't feel as if you need to read this to go into the new relaunch?
I'm sure you don't have to.
All right.
I bet Connor can sort it out.
No, but I'm just...
You're going to get a phone call, Ron. I know I'm going to eat my words on this. It's embarrassing, but I got number one of Ultimate Spider-Man. I don't know what the fuck is going on.
Costume.
He can climb on walls.
I'm lost. I figured they'd at least explain it to me in a recap page, but I'm getting nothing out of this. This may as well be in Sanskrit. I don't know what I'm looking at here.
Oh, God.
Connor?
All right. Anyway, all right. So moving on. So Green Lantern number 67. That ends our Connor questioning.
Well, there's one more, but that's fine.
Oh, there is one more? What's the
well,
one more?
Later on, but that's not a big deal.
Oh, okay. Well, you let us know what it was.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Josh, then you...
I didn't buy, so that's fine. That's why it wasn't...
Oh, okay. Why? The question then is, why didn't you buy it?
I stopped buying this.
Why do you hate commerce?
So, Green Lantern number 67, the conclusion to our long national nightmare of the War of the Green Lanterns ended. And mark this issue, mark this day, this week in comics.
Yeah.
This is the first time that I finally got lost in the Green Lantern books. I open up the first page, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Did you call Connor?
Yeah, I did.
Listen.
Connor, listen, there's this guy, and he's got a ring, and I just don't know what's going on.
I talked to Andy Berganza about it once, but I don't know what that guy was talking about either. And oh,
I love the idea that we don't actually read any of this stuff.
Yeah, the idea.
Anyway, so but because the reason why I was lost is because I get either because of the delay or whatever. Did the War of the Green Lanterns go to another book since the last issue?
Like it's shipped out of order. The post stuff already shipped last week. This is the wrap.
Oh, okay. Maybe
the aftermath of War of the Green Lantern shipped in last week's core book and the other book.
I don't read Green Lantern Corps. That's the thing. It's like I don't read Green Lantern Corps.
Well, this story's been going across all three books, so you've been missing chapters.
Oh, well, Jesus! But this was the week where I was like, all right, I don't know. Well, because what really got to me was exactly what got to me was last issue. They were all the Hal and John Stewart and Guy and Kyle were like colored lanterns. And
oh, here we go.
No. And this opens up, and they're Green Lanterns again. And so
you missed this chapter where they must have gone back.
Exactly. Yeah, I totally missed that. So my bad. My B. So basically all the Green Lanterns fight the Guardians, and Kyle gets the draw, which I thought you would like, Connor. You know that big book, of the Black Lantern book all the various colored lanterns, Atrocitus and Larfleeze and St. Walker and Carol were trapped in the book, and so Hal told Kyle to draw them out, and so he draws.
Did he charge for sketches?
He's like, well, I do $50 for a head sketch, Hal.
Do you want color? Because that's gonna be considerably more.
But so that was kind of neat, and then all the rings go out to find themselves again, but for some reason they like the yellow ring no longer likes Sinestro, and that leads into the fact that then the Green Lantern connects to Sinestro, and this is where Sinestro becomes a Green Lantern again.
Let's just forget all the genocide and all the stuff you did. Yeah, bygones.
Well,
a new haircut.
So what was kind of annoying too was. So it finishes, they defeat Cronus, you know, everybody's back to what they need, and the Guardians are back, and Sinestro is a Green Lantern, nobody really knows what to do, and so the Guardians just pull the same bullshit. Like, they teleport all the other lanterns off, and they're like, you're not welcome on Oa, and then they yell at Hal because he killed a Guardian, because he killed Cronus, even though he's a Guardian, you know, because he killed him, and then they dismiss Hal, they strip him of his ring and teleport him back to Earth, and then they say, we'll deal with Sinestro, and so it's like more of the same, the Guardians are just jerks.
Way more than Professor X.
Yeah, exactly.
Way more.
I don't know. It was. I was like, oh man, I can't wait for this reboot.
The Green Lantern is getting like the least amount of reboot.
I know. It's just sad because I loved Green Lantern years ago. It's a mess now. But Mogo died.
Well, that's stupid.
Yeah.
All right. I picked up Amazing Spider-Man 655, even though I dropped on the last issue.
Right.
So I picked it up for Ryan Stegman's art because he's great, and he was very excited about it on Twitter.
Yep,
and wonderful art, amazing. I just don't care about the story, so I'll be dropping it back again. One, I assume it's just a one time thing with Stegman.
Well, again, I mean, well, yeah, with Stegman, the art was he did a great job. It was so good to see, like really, really well done.
Slightly different style than I saw in She-Hulk's from him, which was more of a Amanda Connor style. This is a bit sketchier.
Yeah. Again, I think the theory is that Slott writes a certain kind of story, and so far when the ones where he writes the story but someone else dialogues it, I like those issues better. Mm-hmm. And this issue was written by Slott whole hog, and I got really annoyed about halfway through because he had Peter acting in a way that Peter wouldn't act. Like, the whole premise was that Betty Brant was about Peter and Betty's relationship and how they get together for movie nights. But, you know, over the years, Peter's let her down because he's been Spider-Man, and how all she wants to go see is this foreign movie. And Peter bails on her and Flash bails on her. So she goes by herself and then she gets attacked. And it's just right back to the Spider-Man flashbacking to the guy who killed Uncle Ben. And I just – like, so halfway through, I'm like, oh, come on, really? But then it ended really strongly, and so then I got a little tugged at my heartstrings a little, and so I kind of came around to it a little bit, because basically what happened was that as opposed to going to be with Betty in the hospital, Peter goes out to try to find the guy who attacked her, and Aunt May gets Peter on the phone and basically yells at him, and then he says, all right, he leaves the guy be and goes to the hospital, which was the right thing to do, which is kind of a growth. This is one of those one-off kind of character growth series, so... But yeah, I don't know. It's tough. I agree with you on the writing is a little slacking. So
yeah, I think I'm gonna off Spider-Man again until a creative team change.
Yeah, Stegman is great though. If they put Stegman on this regularly, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, it'd be hard to drop because he's really, really good.
Yeah, Josh, did you read this because of Stegman or no?
No, I think I missed that, but I want to
go get it. Go get it.
So. Then again, you just sold it so well. Sold the art, but the rest of you are like, oh, but it's not good though.
But it's not good. Anyway, all right, cool. So real quickly, we want to thank our sponsor for this episode and remind you to check out Bad Girls Club from Oxygen. This year at San Diego Comic-Con, Oxygen and IDW have teamed up to bring the hit reality show Bad Girls Club to the world of comics. Debuting at the San Diego Comic Club is Bad Girls Club, an illustrated episode which features a new group of bad girls that possess superpowers and want to show the world that bad girls were put on this earth to do some good. And while you're checking out the illustrated episode, you can check out the new season of Bad Girls Club, season number 7, which takes place in New Orleans, back on Oxygen on August 1st at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Check your local listings and your local channel listings for what channel it is, or if you have Oxygen. I assume that's one of the – is it a basic cable channel?
Yes.
Probably, yeah. So you can get it. I don't have cable, so I apologize. But if you're into the Bad Girls Club, make sure to follow them on Twitter at BGC on Oxygen. And go to Facebook and fan their fan page to get all the Bad Girls Club news at facebook.com/thebadgirlsclub. And you can find more information at oxygen.com. And if you're going to San Diego Comic-Con, be sure to check out the Bad Girls Club illustrated episode and watch Bad Girls Club on Oxygen this August.
All right. Now, I assume many thought Detective Comics 879 would be the pick of the week. Also, but again,
I did not suspect that.
I assumed that people who read it expected that.
All right.
Like Captain America and like X-Men, again, a very solid comic. But it was also kind of the middle chapter. Like, the big surprise came in the last issue. Mm-hmm. And this was sort of the next, you know, middle sort of chapter before the big conclusion. So it was really good. Francisco Francavilla's art was fantastic. He did a really creepy Joker and a really creepy Joker aftermath of mass murder, which we put in the best panel feature in iFanboy.
Could be a scene of the week. You know, yes. It was just a damn good scene.
Yes. But again, it was kind of the middle part. And it was, you know, the big sort of thrills happened in the last issue. And I'm sure they'll happen again in the next issue, the final issue of the story. But also very, very good. I don't want to feel like it's not. It was a very good issue.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Black Panther, The Man Without Fear, Fear Itself, number 521. No, it's actually Black Panther.
Keep going with honorifics.
Two words for you. Ready? Mm. Hate Monger.
He's back.
Yes, and it's awesome.
Wasn't Hate Monger Sue Storm?
No, Hate Monger was Hitler.
Oh, right.
Well, the original Hate Monger. Basically, yes. Hate Monger is this essence of hate. And what they did was, so David Liss is writing this, and Francesco Francavilla is drawing it. And it's, it's fantastic, the art. I mean, Francavilla is great. But
what's Hate Monger's screen name? What does he post as on our site?
But essentially, the way they tied this into Fear Itself was that they introduced to this guy, this random dude who, like, is a racist, basically. And he's like, it shows in three pages, shows his life about how he loses his job and he loses his wife because he's ranting and raving about how the country's being taken over by immigrants. And they show like a shot of him recording a video blog with the Hate Monger hat.
Nice.
It's awesome. And he gets fired from work because he wore the Hate Monger clan hood to work.
That's just stupid.
And he's like, you can't fire me for political beliefs. But
he's not for being an idiot.
But so then what happens is that the Hate Monger essence is out in space, the real Hate Monger, and one of the hammers it grabs onto the hammer that the thing picked up on in New York City, and then it goes and finds this dude because he's a lot of hate, and he becomes the full-fledged Hate Monger with powers. And he basically tries to run Black Panther out of Hell's Kitchen because he's an immigrant, because he's black, but nobody knows he's in his civilian identity. And as a part of the way to combat it is the Hate Monger gets some goon to become the American Panther, and it's basically the Black Panther but with like a Captain America garb, but it's not T'Challa. So it was actually surprisingly really good. When I saw the cover with the American Panther, I rolled my eyes because I thought they were putting the Black Panther in like this American garb. But it was a nice little twist, and the art is amazing. So
it's like when Punisher did that.
Yes, well, yes, but it's not the. But it was the Punisher was right in that costume. Yeah, exactly. Yes. So anyway,
Frankavilla is amazing.
Yeah, Starborn number 8 I thought was interesting because I stopped reading Soldier Zero and the Traveler.
Yeah.
And then I got halfway through this. I was like, wait a minute, is that Soldier Zero?
Yeah, I did the same thing. Yeah. I was confused for a few minutes. Yeah, like, exactly. Wait a second.
So it looks like they're making them crossover, which, I mean, it was only a couple of pages, so it wasn't that terrible. But
It's only a matter of time.
Yeah.
I thought issue 7 was really, really, really good.
Yeah.
Issue 8 was good, but 6 and 7 were really, really good.
Well, I like this one because the main dude, I don't know his name, but he like stepped up. Like the scenes with him were pretty cool when he like basically accepted his role and then said, okay, now I'm making his plan of what to do. I like that.
How many issues can you do? He's like, what is going on?
No. By the way, there was not a lot of Shia LaBeouf woes in that movie, and I was very disappointed.
They should cast him to play this character.
Yeah, they should.
Cary Randolph is really good.
Really good. Really good.
His style is different than anything else I read in other books. It's a bit more stylized, but he does really kinetic action really well.
Yep.
You really feel these action pages.
And Mitch Gerard's, I think the coloring is much of an importance to this book as Cary Randolph's art. Like it's becoming like the palette and the vibrancy of the book feels electric, and a lot of that's from the colors.
Oh, yeah. It's a really solid book.
It is electric. That's very good.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Thank you.
Boogie woogie. Really hot. I feel like I'm being slow cooked in this room.
So you start quoting the electric slide.
whatever it takes.
You can't
now slide
it
to the left.
It's electric. Boogie woogie.
Wait, that's a different one. I don't know. They all blend together.
I assume that was summertime.
All of a sudden, I'm at a bar mitzvah.
Hellboy. The Fury,
number two. Remember when I said before that it seemed like this is going to end soon?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't, at this point, like, if you read, like, early Hellboy, like, it's all about the prophecy of the coming and he's going to herald in the end of the world and everything. That seems to be what Hellboy the Fury number three is going to be. I don't know. Either that or the world ends, in which case that's probably not good for BPRD either. I guess they could do past stories. But
so do you think this is going to be the final Hellboy miniseries?
I feel like...
So there's nothing on the schedule, right?
We don't know. They're being vague about it on purpose. I feel like it is time, and it is totally time for them to sort of end this epoch. You know, at a certain point...
Is Hellboy drawing this or no?
No, he's drawn in forever.
Didn't he say he wanted to come back and draw?
I think he was going to do a few pages.
There's got to be another one because he said he was going to come back and do another.
That's what I thought. Yeah, maybe it's the last one.
I think that what's going to happen is that they do have to close out this chapter where a long time ago, Hellboy left the BPRD and he's like, I'm going to go figure out all this stuff. And he's been wandering around for a while and he was under the sea. And this has been going on for like 15 years. So
in real time or comic time?
In real time.
In real time.
Really? Like this part of the story has been going on for a really long time. And in comic time, it's been like 20 years because I forget because they jump around in time a lot.
Doesn't it make sense that Mignola would come back for the final story to draw?
Yeah, but my guess is they're not going to kill off Hellboy at the end. I feel like Hellboy is going to like end up living in a cabin with the woman of his dreams, and that'll be
Mignola wants to kill off Hellboy. You know it.
He never intended this to last so long. But meanwhile, Dark Horse is sitting on a pile of money.
What's funny is that Hellboy. Like, people don't know this. Hellboy was a vague con sketch. Yeah. Like somebody had him like draw me a thing, and he just drew some weird thing. He wrote Hellboy, and he was like, maybe I'll make that into something, and he did.
And that guy gets 10%.
No, he got a sketch. He didn't pay anything for it. Screw him. Although that sketch is worth a lot now, I bet. But it was good. Like, but it's like it's time. It's time to get past this bit now, which I like. No, it's Duncan Fegredo who draws it now, and he's fantastic. Along with Dave Stewart, obviously.
You know what else I really enjoy?
No.
Besides not being slow roasted in my room, is Flashpoint: Frankenstein and the Creatures of the Unknown by Jeff Lemire.
It's good.
And Ibrahim Robertson.
Yeah.
Really fun. I'm really looking forward now to the
Ibrahim.
Ibrahim.
Yeah.
Ibrahim.
I think it's Ibrahim. If anybody knows, let us know.
Really fun.
Twitter.com/iFanboy.
It's a lot like Sweet Tooth.
It feels like Sweet Tooth.
Yeah. No, like there was a dog character who didn't speak correct English and they're wandering around in the woods and I was like, wait a second. They're in a secret tunnel. Like it's a lot like Sweet Tooth. I kind of was struck by it. I was like, well, there's a lot of very similar things.
Hey, write what you know. At least, at least they didn't play hockey.
I know. Damn it. didn't let me get there.
Yeah. But it's still good. I mean, it's still good.
No, I'm not saying it's bad.
Yep. So we got the first issue of the new Northlander and the last Northlander's arc, the Icelandic Trilogy, Part 1, Settlement 871.
Nine parts.
With Paul Azaceta on art, which is, I'll take any day. So.
Nine parts.
Wow. They're finishing it strong.
Nine times.
It was another really good issue. I'm actually excited to see that this one's going to go on for a while. Like, they're going to really be able to live in this story for a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it took some turns in it that I really didn't expect character-wise, especially one at the end. But even before that, I was like, this is...
It was good. It was really good.
It's so cool that they're playing with he's playing with a Viking mindset and psychology, which is so different than ours. And I like that he's going with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So those are the books that came out that we enjoyed this week. But you go to ifanboy.com/comics, and there's a whole mess of other books that came out, and you all read them and did your pull list and came back and rated and reviewed them, and you get to make your picks of the week. So here's the top five picks of the week for the week of July 13th, the book shipping July 13th. Who wants to do it?
I'll do it.
Okay.
Number five was Connor's pick of the week. Batgirl number 23.
Wow, right out of the gate.
He made three letters before he screwed up.
I love you guys so much. Batgirl number 23, 4.9%. Number four, not everyone was as confused as Ron, with Green Lantern number 67 at 10.3%.
That was a shock. And then
people did agree with Ron, with X-Men Schism number one at 14.7%. And this is the time we're recording, by the way. Detective Comics number 879 comes in at number two with 21.3%. And then finally, Ultimate Fallout number one, 32.1%. So a great deal of people disagree with me and Connor.
That's the emotion reaction. That's people.
That's the tearjerker click.
Exactly. That's people talking with their heart, which is not bad. I can't.
No.
Yeah. But it was X-Men Schism was clearly the best book this week, and Red and Red Wing was clearly the number two. So whatever. I say this tongue in cheek, people. I don't mean you like what you like. It's fine.
We're gonna get emails.
Yeah.
Big Ben.
Evolution's a joke.
You can make your pull list. You can make a pick of the week, and you can also write reviews. And we like to read some on the show. And Big Ben 2012 reviewed Punisher Max 15, gave the story a 5 out of 5 and the art a 5 out of 5. And at the time of recording, 1.2% of you made this the pick of the week. And Big Ben 2012 says, Jason Aaron's scripting has shown me that while Frank is a mass murderer, he has also made me feel pity and even poignant towards our main character. Now, while Aaron deserves a lot of credit, Steve Dillon should receive equal credit. While Dillon's cartoony style at a glance doesn't seem to work with this title, he has managed to breathe life into Aaron's script, whether it's the weathered look on old Frank Castle or the face of the stone cold killer in young Frank Castle. If you love the character, if you love character pieces with excellent art, this is the book for you.
And Big Ben 2012 nailed it, because that was my comment about this. There were several scenes that pitted old Frank in a panel next to young Frank. Yep. And that was where I was like, oh shit, Dillon is amazing.
Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah, he's really good.
It's totally understated. Like, you can totally look at it and go, oh, he just draws the same thing over and over.
Nope.
But he will get you. He has been around for a long time.
Well, look at it towards the end. There's the side profile of old Frank and young Frank, and you can see old Frank's nose is different because he's been in fights and has broken it. You know, like something as subtle as that. Oh, so good, so good.
Yeah, and a great final page, too.
Yeah.
Grenade tossed into a cell.
This is, I mean, Jason Aaron and Steve Dillon, this is a legendary run. This Punisher Max is fantastic, and this is definitely up there with Ennis in terms of some of the best Punisher I've ever read. So.
Yep.
Cool. So Kingdom of Evan read and reviewed Alpha Flight number 2, of which he gave the story a 5 out of 5 and the art a 5 out of 5, and nobody made it their pick of the week because no one likes Canada.
Not to be trusted.
Just kidding.
Again, send your letters to Ron.
No. Contact at 1-888-326-2697. Okay, so Kingdom Evan says, the characterization of Mac and Heather is particularly spot on here. It's so refreshing to see Mac get so angry at having died so many times for his country, but having so little to show for it. Dale Eaglesham's art helps a lot in this regard. Mac just looks so weary with a wrinkled face and graying hair. Heather's heel turn, a little wrestling term, in the last issue makes perfect sense by the end of this one, and to see her cooing over an empty nursery is just creepy. It's just as creepy as hell. Then, of course, there's Puck. He's back. They just kind of breeze through that, and that's fine by me. This series is too short to get tied down in his adventures in hell and explain why he's here. He just is, which means the gang's all here. To quote the issue, status awesome. And this was great.
Yeah, this was really good.
This
too.
Was good. Eaglesham was solid throughout the whole issue. Pack and Van Lente are telling a great story, and with things I didn't see coming and suspected, they're really getting into the characters. I loved it.
So. I like the idea that the government takes away what are their names? Vindicator and Guardian's kids because they're superheroes and are dangerous, and so that's why Vindicator's turned evil, and the Guardian has pissed. So I like the idea that they've turned against Canada because the kids got taken away by the government.
Well, yeah, the government manipulated them and all that. So, yeah, so.
It's like, I've died for this country 4 or 5 times.
Yeah, why can't I just...
I want my kids.
To be fair, that's kind of without precedent. Yeah. So you don't really know how to act.
And it is Canada. They wear the funny wigs in court. So, anyway. They do. Wow. They like they parliament. So.
Ron and iFanboy.com.
You think that he's like, I died for this country. People are like... It's Canada. We weren't really in much danger. You maybe overdid it.
So go to ifanboy.com/comics. You can do your pull list and come back and rate and review your books. You might get on the show. And so go ifanboy.com/comics. Get involved today.
iFanboy is a Graphically site, and Graphically is your home for digital comics with over 4,000 comics from Marvel, Archaea, Top Cow, Dynamite, IDW, Boom, and tons more. We're not kidding you, by the way, with the tons more. Really. If you could measure digital information, it would be tons. There's something for everybody there. Use Graphically on the web, Android, or your iOS device. It's however you like. Or you could also have the app. There's that as well. If you're gonna be at San Diego Comic Con, swing by the Archaea booth where we'll be set up there, and you can check out Graphically on a bunch of different devices and see how it works. You can pick the one you like best for your device. And be sure to follow Graphically on Twitter, which is @Graphically. And on Facebook, facebook.com/graphically, for all the San Diego news and updates and specials and things like that. There will be specials. There'll be little things, so it's definitely going to be worth your while to follow on there. And get over to graphically.com, which is still the relatively newish redesigned website, which works so well, which is so nice. And then, so thank you.
Yes. All right, time for fun.
On to the emails. The first one's a long one, so strap in and bear with me. It's from James C., and the subject line is egos and sideburns run amok. And James, I don't know who he's referring to. And James C. says, listen, nobody wants to be thought of as a follower or wants to be told what to do. If I had to make the pick of the week last week, there would be a rebellious part of me that wouldn't want to pick Batman Knight of Vengeance either. But for a fanboy to pick Moon Knight 3 saying, quote, I thought it was Bullseye. Then the guy goes, Mark, is that you? And I laughed. Or, quote, the reader knows more than the people in the book. You mean like Clark Kent and Superman or Peter Parker, Spider-Man or every other comic book ever written? Give me a break. So the Bullseye thing was better than the last page of Knights of Vengeance? Ron, quote, well, it's a personal thing. It's what I liked. So Ron doesn't represent iFanboy. This is what it comes down to. iFanboy believe that if you're going to read one comic this week, it should be Moon Knight number 3. Really? There have been two no-brainer picks since I've been listening, and both times iFanboy got it wrong. Blackest Night number 1 not only met but surpassed all the hype leading up to it, and Batman Knight of Vengeance, twisted to take on Batman's universe, was easily the best book of the week. But this attitude of, quote, no one's going to tell me what to pick, or, quote, I'm going to piss everyone off, is a slap in the face to every iFanboy reader and listener.
Everyone.
The week... Hold on.
Everyone.
Everyone.
The week the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper came out, I'm sure there was a music reviewer who picked some other album as album of the week because of his pride or ego or just to piss off his readers. And guess what? He was wrong, too. And if Ron says, quote, I really believe Moon Knight number 3 is a better comic, then he's a liar. The whole my personal taste thing is such a friggin' cop-out. It's cowardly bullshit. This is the reason I will never give you guys a dime. It's all about you. You have no respect for your readers. And just like Ron's sideburns, your egos are out of control. The sad thing is, just like Ron's sideburns, underneath those sweaty, smelly, lint-filled ear pubes, there is a set of real cool understated sideburns. Moon Knight, give us all a fucking break, will you? It's my personal opinion. Comic book fans know what the best comic book was last week, and the reason people are so pissed off is that sometimes people feel vindicated. They like looking at the pick of the week and going, yes, I knew it, not, you gotta be fucking kidding me, did this idiot even read Knight of Vengeance? Did you see the art, not the trace photos of Moon Knight? Your website and your podcast is a fucking joke. Moon Knight, what the fuck?
He really liked Knight of Vengeance number 2.
He really did. So this came in now for people who don't know, we don't get a ton, but we get emails like this every now and then.
Yeah, not too often.
Not too often, but we get every now and then. And so, you know, we want to be fair and not always read the positive things and read the negative and stuff like that. But also, I think it's an opportunity to address some things and things that people might need to be reminded of or explained or whatever.
How stuff works.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, first off, what I want to do is I want to apologize to James that I did not agree with him on the book that I picked as pick of the week last week. I'm sorry you didn't like my pick. I'm sorry you don't like Josh's pick of Not Blackest Night two years ago.
That was, by the way, July 2009.
Okay. Just so we're talking about that 2 years ago. I'm sorry. There are other comic book websites out there that would be more than happy for you to go and frequent. And I can send you some links if you need them. Email us at contact@ifanboy.com. I'll be happy to show you where you can find other people talking about comic books on the web. Nobody says you need to come to us every day. We thank you for doing it. And to say that we don't respect our audience hurts me at the core, because I believe, as does Josh and Connor, that without you guys, iFanboy is really nothing. So I have tremendous amount of respect for all of you, for every single one of you listening, reading. You guys are why we do it. So to say that we don't have respect for our audience is I take personal offense to. And I apologize if you felt as if we didn't respect you or respect other people, because that couldn't have been further from the case. All right. So that out of the way.
Well, the thing is, we don't there's a lot of things that's wrong with this email.
Well, we're going to get to that afterwards. I think we want to explain Josh's explain how things work.
Well, that's part of it.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Josh. You explain how it works.
Well, the way that this worked, and this goes back to our very most early origins.
10 years ago. 10 years ago.
11 years. 11, actually.
Yeah. The origin of the whole thing is that we had a little email list.
Yep.
And we sent it around, and we talked about our books and just a little blurb, and we wrote to our friends, and then we started the website, and then we started saying, well, hey, let's write about the book that was our favorite, and we'll trade off. So 1 week, you pick the book that was your favorite, and then the next week, you pick your favorite. And basically, me and Connor wrote a lot of Gotham Central reviews.
Exactly.
And that's kind of how it is. But the site then grew up to be bigger once we started doing the videos and the audio shows. It grew up to be bigger, but it was always still based around our personal tastes. And I think part of the success has always been the diversity of that. I don't like the same stuff that Ron and Connor like. We do. I mean, they go over sometimes, but like, I like different kinds of things. Now, if you came every week and it was always Ron's pick, then it would certainly be a certain kind of you know, book always there. Right. Or you know, usually, or, you know, or any of us like that. But we like to think that between the three of us, you sort of get a taste of what's going on in comics. And if you listen for long enough, not too long, you'll get to know what each of us are sort of into, and people will pick like, oh, I like the kind of things that he likes.
And the thing is, I like the fact that we have differences, the fact that you guys have picked books that I would never have read that I picked up based on your picks. That's why we do it. Like it's almost like a checks and balances system. I'm the Senate, you know.
He's obviously not new. He's been around since Blackest Night at least.
Yeah.
And that's all right. So that's 2 years. That's over 100 episodes of us explaining it every time that we pick the book we like the best. Every show starts off with explaining how it works.
Well, a lot of people tune out. Maybe people skip it. I'll give him that. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he forgot. But I hear.
So the idea that Ron shouldn't pick the book he liked the best and should pick the one that will make everyone happy or feel vindicated, which is really what this is all about.
Yeah.
Is ridiculous and completely against what we do. And if you have been around long enough, you still don't understand how it works, then that's on you and not on us.
Right. And so, and then also the thing is that to tell me that as a reviewer, it is based in my opinion, or Josh's opinion, Connor's opinion, that sort of thing. To tell me that my opinion is wrong does not work, because you are not in my head. I read Batman Night of Vengeance. We talked about it on the show. I said it was fantastic. I don't like Batman. Mm-hmm. It would take a lot to get me to pick a Batman book as pick of the week, just based on my own personal bias as a reviewer. And you know, I'm sorry the book you liked the most didn't get picked as pick of the week. Them's the breaks.
Also, Josh and I both wouldn't have picked it.
Okay, well, there you go.
We said on the show we both would have picked Jonah Hex. We both loved Night of Vengeance. We both would have picked Jonah Hex. Now, if you read his review, you would think he is on the forefront of this growing movement of people with pitchforks coming to find us because we didn't pick the book, which means clearly everyone picked that book but the three of us. So I went to the website to look at the numbers.
And
you would assume it would be a 99.97% percentage because everyone would have picked Batman and three of us didn't.
Connor, I fucking love you. I love you right now.
So you would think that you'd find Flashpoint 99.97%, you'd find Joan Hex with 0.02%, you'd find Moon Knight 0.01%. But in fact, you find Batman Night of Vengeance was the number one picked book with 57.5%.
Which is a majority. Which is
pretty good.
It's an overwhelming majority, but it's still 6 out of 10, which means 40% of the people did not pick it, which means everyone has different tastes. That's what it comes down to.
Exactly. And the thing is that, and part of the fun is you guys telling me, oh, that's bullshit. You know, like, we should have been this or whatever. That's why we do the site, so we can talk about it. I do
nicely.
Of course, nicely. Yes, nicely. I do not sit back at my list and go, as you said, where is it? I want to quote exactly. Fuck, where is it?
Because of your pride or ego? Just
yeah, it says,
readers?
It says, okay, so I don't sit back and go, you know, no one's going to tell me what to pick. Or I don't sit back and say, I'm going to piss everyone off with this pick. You assume I'm putting way too much thought and effort and desire into this pick. I'm just purely, we all are just purely sitting down saying, what is the book I enjoyed the most? And I happen to have enjoyed Moon Knight because I like the way Brian Bendis writes. I like the way Alex Maleev draws. And I like what they did together as the book. I like the way Matt Wilson colored it. It hit on every point that I wanted as a comic book.
I don't even look at the website when I have the pick.
Oh, I don't know. I strictly do not look at the website until I'm done with my review. Just so everyone knows, I never look at what everyone's picking. Never. Now, that said, I do want to address one thing because, you know, I am kind of into music and all that sort of stuff. You make a comparison of to Sgt. Pepper's, right?
Mm-hmm.
Batman Night of Vengeance was no Sgt. Pepper's.
No.
I knew Sgt. Pepper's. I knew, sir.
If Watchmen came out, I could understand that. If Dark Knight Returns came out, I could understand that. If, you know, if these Dark Phoenix conclusion came out, I could understand that. But listen, it was a mini series, a Flashpoint that you are never going to read again in 2 years. And
it was good. That's not true.
Well, possibly. Anyway, all right.
But it was very, 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 very good. It's not.
Right.
It's
no, not, I mean, I'm just reacting to make the comparison as if I completely whiffed and missed this great thing that changed the industry and stuff like that. It didn't. I'm sorry. And I'm sorry you enjoyed it so much that you don't see the forest for the trees in that regard. Now, and my final thing, and we'll move on because taking up a ton of time. This is to anybody else who wants to write in. If you ever want to provide constructive criticism to any sort of media site or internet thing, kind of like as a lot of you do, and we get a lot of feedback as well as some of our other friends at other comics podcasts, things like that. The best thing to do to get your argument across or to get your point across to us is to illustrate it by physical attacks on the person you're writing to. That is just the classiest move you can do, and I want to applaud James C. for zeroing in on my sideburns and using that as his marker as to why my review was wrong.
We won't at all write you off.
Yeah, exactly. And if you can't detect the sarcasm in that, I'm sorry you can't detect sarcasm either. But seriously, it was with elegance and clarity of voice that your email came through. We just had to read it on this.
But honestly, it all boils down to, and he reveals it here at the end, is that he wanted to feel vindicated, and he wasn't vindicated. And we're not here to vindicate you. Yep. We're here to say what we think is the best. And
the 57% of other people who also thought of the pick of the week, there should be something to that for you.
Yeah, which is great. I think that's fantastic. I think it's so great you enjoyed it. I think it's so great 57% of the other people enjoyed it. That's awesome. Go to the website and talk about it. That's why we're here. You know? So I we're flattered that you take such stock, but when you say, does Ron represent iFanboy or is iFanboy Ron? iFanboy is the collective sum of the three of us plus the 10 plus other people who write for us. And what I believe makes us different from all the other comic book websites up there is that you've got that collective voices working together as together and also as individuals.
Plus we're faces and personalities. We're not just a nameless website or person behind a website writing an article. You know who we are. You know how we think and what we feel. So that gives more.
We tell you our biases up front.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yes, Ron does represent iFanboy. And so that means last week's iFanboy pick of the week was Moon Knight.
Yeah.
That was our pick of the week.
Right.
Which, by the way, if you're trying to impress people with being cool with your indie pick, that ain't it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Trust me, because I've got enough shit at my comic book store for picking it too.
Listen. I think I'm going to go out on the limb here, and I'm just going to say that 2.5 Men, that's the best show. It's about as mainstream as you get.
Yeah. There have been books, like if I wanted to, I could write about Glamour Puss every time it comes out. You know, but I it's A, it's not the best book that comes out every week. I enjoy it for a specific reason, but it's not, it's, there are a lot of problems with it at the same time. So don't assume, don't assume that we're out to be different or to piss people off or anything like that. And again, like, I'll go back to what I said at the top of this and then we'll move on, 'cause we got a lot to do and now we're running along. Is that if you don't like it, I assume Josh Connor, you're with me, sincerely apologize and thank you for the time you've given us. If you don't want to stick around, we won't hold it against you.
Mm.
All right. So cool.
But then Josh was wrong about Blackest Night.
Yes. No. Josh was wrong. And Connor, Schism. Come on. What the hell? So if you have any feedback or anything you'd like to provide, please shoot us an email, contact@ifanboy.com. If anything today evidences that we do read everything that comes in, we do take it to heart, good and bad. So there you go. Cool. All right. San Diego Comic-Con.
We're skipping the voicemails. Normally voicemails, but we ran long, clearly, so we're skipping the voicemails. I'll be back, not next week, but the week after, because next week is San Diego Comic-Con. And we'll be coming at you, well, actually this week, depending on when you're listening to the show. So we'll be doing our show from Comic-Con. It'll be a shorter show. We'll just talk about the books. And,
well, to be careful, we're recording next week's Pick of the Week while we're at Comic-Con. We're not doing a live show or streaming.
We'll be recording from Comic-Con, so it'll be probably shorter and tired and drunk, maybe. Yeah. It depends on when we do it. So just keep that in mind next week. And if you're going to Comic-Con, come see us. I'll be at the Comics Podcasting Panel Thursday from 4 to 5, talking podcasting. I'll be on there with a bunch of other podcasters like John Suntress and Pants from Comic Geek Speak and John Mayo, people like that. So come see that 4 to 5 in room 9 if you're at Comic-Con. And there's also a contest, Ron. Tell the people about the contest.
Yeah, so this year we are going to be interviewing Stan Lee as we are off to do. We like to catch up at Stan at the con. And we want you to come along with us. So go to ifanboy.com, and in the post, in the red post at the top of the page about San Diego, there's instructions. You got to answer a couple of simple questions. If you're going to San Diego Comic-Con, write us an email. Use the subject line, what was it, Meet Stan or something like that?
Meet Stan,
yeah. Yep. Meet Stan is the subject line. Answer the questions. Tell us if you're going to be at Comic-Con, and we're going to pick one winner, and you got to do it quickly. This comes out Sunday night. We're going to be picking the winner on Tuesday, the 19th. So get your entries in by end of day, Monday, the 18th. So you've only got one more day to enter if you haven't entered. Let us know if you're going to be at San Diego. If you're not going to be at San Diego, you can still enter because Stan's folks didn't want anybody to be left out. And so they're giving us a whole bunch of signed stuff by Stan that one lucky winner at home is going to win. And this is not limited to iFanboy members. Everyone is eligible to win. Even our good friend James C. could win if he wanted to enter. So go to email contact@ifanboy.com with your answers to the questions. One winner. That would be awkward. It'd be awesome. One winner in San Diego will get to come with us to interview Stan on Friday. And then another winner is going to win a bunch of signed stuff. So no reason not to do it. The questions are ridiculously easy. We want you to win.
All right. So also, if you're going to be at Comic-Con, we like to get together people and hang out. We've been doing it for many years now. And so, Ron, tell people how they can hang out with us at night.
Yes. If you're going to be out and about at the San Diego Comic-Con, we want to hang out with you. So please join us for the iFanboy Graphically Happy Hour on Friday, July 22nd from 6 to 9. We're going to be at the Andaz Hotel up on the roof deck at 600 F Street, right in the gas lamp. A beautiful location, amazing view of the city. It's going to be awesome. There's going to be food. There's going to be drink and good times, hopefully. And we want to thank Disney's Fright Night, who are sponsoring the event in theaters on August 19th, and we want to thank Fright Night for making this all possible. And the best thing about this party is you don't need an RSVP, you don't need to be on a list, just show up, bring your friends, and we'll all have a good time. So go to ifanboy.com, and on the post at the very top of the page about San Diego, you can find the flyer, the location, all the information, as well as a link to the event on Facebook to RSVP, and we look forward to seeing you there.
It's a happy hour. And finally, if you're not at Comic-Con, you're not going to be at the party or the panels or anything like that, stick around ifanboy.com. They'll have all the news for you. Paul will be hanging around, chained to his desk, reporting all the news from Comic-Con. So if you don't get to go and you want to know what's happening, actually, if you go, you don't really know what's happening anyway. So if you're hanging around at home, you'll be better informed than everyone who's there. So check out all the Comic-Con news and coverage at ifanboy.com all during the convention.
Yeah, I heard last year Peter David got stabbed in the eye by Todd McFarlane. I may have got that wrong, though.
So go to ifanboy.com. Everything's going to be there. It's all San Diego all the time. It's going to be fun.
There's a red post right at the top of all the information.
Yep, exactly.
Excellent. We also have our Don't Miss podcast, and there'll be a special San Diego edition of it. There's a little shorty where we're going to sort of talk about some of the stuff that, if you're going, would be really cool. If you're not going, would be cool to think about going to. How's that? So we're gonna do some stuff on the website that you can look for that will be there, the panels and things to look out for. But we'll do just a little short sort of going over it, a preview. Don't Miss, a little different than our normal Don't Miss, is when we talk to a creator about a book that's coming out that week. But you know, who even knows what books are coming out that week? I don't.
Hopefully,
I
have to write. Hopefully, it's a light week.
God, you think? Oh. Yeah.
Anyway, but if you want some more podcast fun and goodness, you can go back in the feed and you can pick up. Most recently, we had a audio podcast review of Transformers 3, where me, Connor, and Ryan talked about that movie. It was fun. And you can find that at ifanboy.com, or you can go get it in the feed if you didn't download it. As well as last Thursday, I talked to Sam Humphries, the writer of Our Love is Real, a indie self-published book that burst on the scene and was pretty hot. And a really interesting conversation if you're into self-publishing and comic creating and things like that. It's definitely a must-listen. And this week is Captain America week. Captain America's coming out on Friday. And so you're going to want to go to ifanboy.com on Friday to read our review of the movie. And then stay tuned, because we're going to have a podcast where we're going to talk about it. Unknown when that's going to come out, probably after San Diego, so in 2 weeks, or not in 2 weeks, but in like a week and a half, probably. So keep an eye out for that as we bathe in the patriotism.
Bathe deep. Bathe deep in there.
Get in there, Steve. Get in there deep.
Finish the show. I'm about to pass out.
Check out ifanboy.com for the Pick of the Week review. That Connor, and if you have a problem with it, I'm sorry.
Connor at ifanboy.com.
Connor at ifanboy.com. He's not going to change it. I don't know what you expect, but there'll be that. There's all sorts of cool stuff. We're talking about all the stuff that it's coming up in San Diego. We're going to have Captain America posts, very timely, but also the other stuff that's going on. And that is all the new stuff. There's Word Balloon podcast. There's stuff. There's a lot of stuff is what I'm saying. Exactly. I work on it all the time. You can go to ifanboy.com/about. You can see the social network links and how to hook up with us in various ways on the internet. There's also the video show there. Last week we talked about Mike Allred, and then this week coming up, well, it's Captain America show, obviously.
Woohoo.
It's a movie. I don't know if you noticed. I'm excited. They have donuts that go with the movie.
You can email us at contact@ifanboy.com. If you have anything to say, anything at all, and call our voicemail line 888-FANBOYS 326-2697. Any comments, questions, concerns, discussion topics, we'll bring them back after the con. We won't be doing them at the con,
yes,
but after the con.
And if you like what you hear, for some reason, go to iTunes, write a review of it, help spread the word, tell your friends about the show, tell the guys at your comic book store, and you can follow us on twitter.com/ifanboy, tell your friends there, tell everybody that you like listening to iFanboy, or go to facebook.com/ifanboy and tell people you like us there, too. It all helps. All right, so we're off to San Diego, so until next time, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
I'm Josh, and I'm pretty sure I came off less dickish than last week. So,
still dickish.
There's still time.
I love dickish. How your Freudian slip is that you're still a dick.
Well, I mean, let's call a spade a spade. About to face a bit, cause I tried to waste this kid. Ready to embrace the biscuit to my face. Pull it back, erase the kid. Pull the trigger, but I figure that I got a little wizard. Can't let him get trapped by the evil wizards. Forget in the plot, genocide, homicide. For you and I to try. We'll figure this out till you died. It's a suicide.
Three, two.
Hey, welcome to the ifanboy.com.
Hey, everybody.
My voice did crack a little bit.
Mr. Nimoy.
One more time. Three, two.
Hi, everyone.
Three, two. Hi, welcome to the ifanboy.com. I toyed with going low, and then I decided not to, and then it made me laugh.
Okay.
Three, two.
You know, we should just push through the first time. That's what we should. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.